has become very politicized. And it very often becomes a question of whether a person sees the state of Israel as reishit tzmichat geulateinu or not. We're going to touch on that question as well, but I believe there's a halachic question that should be separated from, I don't want to call it the political question, because seeing Israel as reishit tzmichat geulateinu isn't a political question, but I mean, it should be a question that one can deal with halachically without having to even get to the question of reishit tzmichat geulateinu. This is what I'd like to be able to show in the shiur today. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled Amud Aleph, speaks about the basis of the Yom Tov of Purim. And it explains that even though it's not mentioned in the Torah, they instituted it, and it wasn't considered Baal Tosif, because if we say Hallel and celebrate, when we went Me'avdus L'Cherus, Tziyat Mitzrayim, then all the more so we should celebrate when we go Mimisa L'Chayim. Right. Purim wasn't just becoming free, it was surviving. The Chassam Sofer, if we skip for a second to the bottom of page 1, based on this, the Chassam Sofer says that setting up a Yom Tov on a day when a Nes occurred is a Kal V'chomer that has D'oraita significance. Even though it was instituted, Purim was instituted later, it's Min HaTorah, because there's a Kal V'chomer based on something in the Torah. So the Chassam Sofer explains that even though the particular ways we express appreciation might be Durabanon, the need to express appreciation is Doraisa. In fact, the Chassam Sofer adds that a person who violates this need and doesn't do anything to express appreciation for the Nisim is over a mitzvah semi Doraisa. It's not just a prerogative, it's a responsibility and necessity. And this is why, going back for a second to the middle sources, throughout the generations we find communities, families, who instituted days of celebration in response to Nisim that occurred to them. For example, the Maram al-Shakir in Algeria, you have here a tshuva where he talks about it. It's actually an interesting question, where the community had rules that everyone had to observe this Yom Tov, and there were people who didn't feel that the community should be able to do that. So the Maram al-Shakir answered that not only does the community have a right to make takanot, all the more so in a situation like this where there's a responsibility to make a takana, to be mefarsem the nes. And therefore the community has the ability and the responsibility to be metake not only in their generation but for all future generations. The Chayodam ends his sefer by talking about a nes that happened in his own family that they continue to observe and to celebrate for many years afterwards as a Yom Tov, because they were saved from a certain fire that, you know, was very particular to their situation. So there's a responsibility for people to express appreciation and thanks to Hashem for Nisan that occurred to them when they occur, and in the future to remember them as well. In fact, I wanted to take this a step further by showing you a little bit more about the precedence of Purim on page 2. One of the most salient, unique aspects of Purim is that it's celebrated by different Jews on different days. Now, we're familiar with Yud Aleph and Tesvav, but the truth is that the Mishnah talks about Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel as well. And, you know, one can understand the basis for why there were different days, you know, what happened in the walled cities, non-walled cities. But the Ramban asks, why, even if there's basis, why do it this way? Why separate Jews in their day of celebration? We don't have any other example like this, where some people, you know, celebrate Pesach on Yud Daled, Tesvav Nisan, and others on Tesvav Iyar. Meaning, well, why do it that way? Well, actually, Pesach Sheni, but, you know, people who miss that, it's not L'chadchila. And the Ramban says it even looks a little like Losis Godedu. So the Ramban explains that the reason Chazal instituted it this way was to commemorate the way the commemoration of Purim began. For those not familiar with the Psukim in Perek Tet of Megillat Esther, it says that in the years after the Nes occurred, the people who lived in the open cities, in the Arei HaPrazot, celebrated on their own on the 14th. The people in the walled cities did not celebrate on their own, and it seems that they weren't as threatened as the people who lived out in the open. Now, when Mordechai made the Takana, he specified that they should continue in the non-walled cities on the 14th and in the walled cities on the 15th. And the Ramban explains that the reason the Takana was made this way was to remember the fact that there were those who celebrated from their own initiative. And that's an important thing to remember. In fact, the Ramban holds that Yud Dalet is the more L'chadchila Purim, because it commemorates the people who celebrated on their own. And so the point is that you see that the way the holiday was institutionalized was to commemorate the fact that people took initiative to express their appreciation to Hashem for the nes that occurred before Mordechai told them that it was one they should be showing appreciation for. I think this is important in our own times as well, because sometimes, correctly so, as firm Jews, we're suspicious of the taking of initiative, of the institution of new things. I have to know when it's right and when it's wrong. But the point I'm trying to show is that maybe one day there'll be two Yom HaTzmutz, one for those who celebrate on their own and one for those who didn't. Who knows? My point is, the principle of the need for initiative and the importance of initiative is something I think you see sharpened by what the Ramban says about Purim as well. How does this apply to Yom HaTzmut? Let's look at page 3 here. Yom HaTzmut was definitely a time where the Jewish people went mimisa l'chaim, in a simple technical way for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, who were openly threatened with annihilation. But not just the Jews of Eretz Yisrael in that time, but the Jews of the world in that time and in future generations. Part of the problem, Ravita was speaking a little bit about this, is that we don't realize today how desperate the situation of the Jewish people was in 1945. On a physical plane, being not wanted and having nowhere to go and having no substance, and on a moral plane, on a personal plane, Jews being able to believe in themselves. The state of Israel became the solution to all of that, in a world where nobody was interested in offering a solution. It became a place that all Jews could run to, and it became a basis for Jews believing in themselves, believing in their religion, believing in their future, then and in the future, like for Soviet Jewry. Now, it's unfortunate that in the last few hundred years, most of the Jewish people have become non-religious, but particularly that reality has made the importance of the State of Israel even more so. Without the State of Israel, most Jews would not have Jewish identity in the world that we live in today. And so when we talk about the survival of a people as a people, both physically and spiritually, it's hard to imagine where we would be without the state. We believe Hashem has many ways, but this was the way that He chose. So these ideas were expressed by Rav Uziel, who was the Sephardic chief rabbi when the State of Israel was founded, Tafshin Tes. The Ashkenazic chief rabbi, anyone knows who he was? Rav Herzog. And so, for the first Yom HaTzmut in 1949, Rav Herzog traveled to New York for a big gathering in Madison Square Garden. Now, traveling to New York wasn't a 10-hour flight in those days, and he was not reachable. The rabbinic announcement of Yom HaTzmut, to Rav Uziel posted himself. I assume he had spoken to Rav Herzog in the year in between a little bit, and was representative. and he talks there, Rav Uziel, about what the significance of Yom HaTzmut was for the Jewish people. You know, the removal of the old Shibud Malchiot, the return of Jewish pride, of Jewish self-sustenance, of Jewish ability to defend themselves, which weren't simple things at those times. What it meant for Jews in Israel and what it meant for Jews around the world. Now, the reason these issues are simpler today is because of the State of Israel, and that's something we may not be able to realize looking back. There were many other tshuvas written, like Rav Meshulam Roth, Shut Kol Mevaser, which Rav Reeder actually referred to. And he speaks about how, if you talk about the Kal Vachomer of Me'avdus L'Cherus, Rabbi Misa L'Chaim, all the more so where Yom HaTzmut was really both of these things. So, my point is that irrespective of how you view the significance of the State of Israel within Jewish history, within the Geula process, there's reason to celebrate, and we'll soon see, say Hallel, because of the significance of what that day and the Jewish self-sovereignty brought, irrespective of whatever opinion you happen to have or not have about the long-term future. All that having been said, I personally believe, and you can believe what you'd like to believe, and you'll hear a little bit more about this today and in the coming days, that it's very hard to claim that what's happening in Israel today is not significant within Jewish history. I don't like to use terms because who am I? What do I know? But to say that it's insignificant is very hard to say. Why? Because the Galus was the greatest punishment God gave us for our sins. It's the climax of the Tochacha. Is it possible that God would allow the bulk of the Jewish people, I'm not getting into the exact numbers right now, to return to Israel and take control of the country without it being what the Torah says the return to Israel is? The Torah says, I'm going to punish you and send you into Galus. And when you do tshuva, I'm going to let you come back. So is it possible God would let us come back? Is that all a deceptive device? How could God allow that if it isn't part of the process? Now, Is it an irreversible process? How much more true? All these are excellent questions, but insignificant is very hard to say. And maybe the best expression of this is not only the fact that the Jewish people have returned, but that the land of Israel has once again began functioning. As we know, part of the Golus is not only that the Jewish people become dysfunctional, but that the land becomes dysfunctional, which is a klal and a bracha, because it means that the land is reserved for us. And part of the Geula is that the land becomes functional again as well. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Ches, in reference to a pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about the land beginning to produce once again, the Gemara there is trying to say, how do you know when the end of days is here? Eliezer says, quotes of Abba as well, "Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh." There is no better expression of the end of days than this pasuk in Yecheskel. "Ve'atem hari Yisrael, anpechem titenu ufir yechem tesu la'mi Yisrael kikerev ulovo." Rashi says on that Gemara, when Eretz Yisrael gives its perot be'ein yafeh, then we know that the keitz is drawing near. Marashah expresses this as well, because as long as the Jewish people are not in their land, the land did not produce. And so it's not just the Jewish people's return, it's the fact that Eretz Yisrael is flowering again. Very hard to say that that's insignificant. The Sfat Emet, in a really haunting piece, talks about how there are meant to be three Derabanan Yamim Tovim that are parallel to the three Deoraisa Yamim Tovim. And so he talks about how there's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. He says Chanukah is like Sukkos. Right, and he talks about how Purim is like Shavuos, Kimu Mashakib Lukfar, and you can look more into it if you'd like to. And he goes, in the end of days, we're looking forward to a day that will come out near and like Pesach, that will be, you know, going, you know, from being redeemed and saved as a people. Ki Meitzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim Erenu Niflaot. And so this piece of Sfas Emet has been quoted very often, very, you know, in a haunting way for him to have described it at that time. But again, it's not based on the Sfat Emet that we believe that there's significance. One of the questions discussed regarding setting Yom HaTzmud as a day of celebration up is, okay, let's say we believe that the country is a very significant event in the purely technical plane of saving Jews, and maybe even in the broader sense of the significance of the Jewish history. But why this specific day? Significance to the Jews returning to Israel. Why the pronouncing of a state? I always like responding to this. I have a friend, right, who I remember once having a similar conversation with, not about Yom HaTzmud. And he said to me that the Jewish people in Israel would be much better off if they were under Jordanian rule. What do we need to make our own state? Make your own state and have all these problems. And you know, I started responding to him, but what struck me was that it's very easy to have, you know, unrealistic opinions if you haven't studied Jewish history. Now, hopefully, you've studied Jewish history in a way that you understand what Jewish life was under the rule of foreign powers. And to imagine, you can't imagine the Jewish people's presence in Israel today, physically or spiritually, as being anything if we were still under Turkish or Jordanian rule and being controlled by the whims of other powers. The pronouncing of a state of self-government is the beginning of everything that the Jewish people, that the state of Israel became, and that the Jewish people have become within it. There was also significance in the pronunciation itself. You know, it wasn't just something technical that they pronounced it on this day. It was a major nisayon. There was a major fear, and it was a thing that in and of itself expressed and determined the confidence that the Jewish people needed to have and developed at that moment. You know, a lot of the world was cautioning and threatening the Jews in Israel not to declare independence. And by the way, just to understand how serious it was, about half of the committee that, you know, ran things here in Israel was against declaring independence. Not because they didn't believe in the Jewish state, they fought their whole lives for it. They were afraid. If people don't know the story, Ben-Gurion was on the side of declaring, and it was a tie. So he arranged for a plane to fly Rav Maimon, who was one of the Rabbanim on the committee who was under siege in Yerushalayim, to fly from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv for the vote. He was on the committee, he wasn't a fake voter, he couldn't get out though, so that he could cast a deciding vote in favor of declaring the state of Israel. But ad kedei kach. And so this emuna, this faith, this confidence, this belief that we can do it, part of it was expressed in Yom HaTzmud from the very beginning. Okay. After questions, we're going to focus particularly on the question of halal. But the reason I didn't want to begin with the question of halal is that I think there's a much bigger, broader question. And conceivably, one can celebrate Yom HaTzmaut and not say halal. I think it's also possible to say halal and not celebrate, whatever. But, you know, they to a certain extent go together, but they don't have to go together. And that's why I wanted to speak first about the broader notion and then to speak specifically about the saying of halal. Okay, so let's now move forward. The Gemara back on page 1, where it talks about giving thanks for these nisim, after it talks about, you know, the celebration, it says in the fourth line, Ihachi halal nami nema. If there's such importance and basis on Purim, why don't we say halal on Purim? And really, the question can be formulated this way. There are two Yamim Tovim that were instituted midrabbanan by rabbis based on events that happened later, like based on this kind of logic that if we have the Tzelcheres, you say, so for sure to celebrate these things. But on one of them we say halal, on the other we don't say halal. Which one do we say halal on? Chanukah. Which one do we not say halal on? Purim. So really the question is, okay, you celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, but should it be like Chanukah or like Purim as far as the saying of halal? And that's why this Gemara is very important. The Gemara gives three explanations as to why we don't say halal on Purim. The first is, we don't say halal on nes that happened in Chutz Laretz. This is not, you know, some crazy Tzioni saying this. This is the Gemara. Right. Now again, that particular issue, I think Yom HaTzmaut would fall on the side of Chanukah. Okay? And much, you know, not just that it happened in Eretz Yisrael. The second issue the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, three lines in the bottom, is that the Kriyas HaHalel, the Kriyas HaMegillah is the Halel of Purim. Okay, well, we don't have a Megillah to read on Yom HaTzmaut, so again, it would be like Hanukkah. The third explanation given by Rava is that by Purim, they weren't really redeemed because they remained Avdei HaShverosh. Mitzrayim, they really left Mitzrayim totally. Here too, the Jews became totally free. They became their own people. So, there definitely is the basis for saying halal on Yom HaTzmaut. We find in a number of other sugyas, continuing back where we were up to on page 4, where the Gemara talks about saying halal because of an ace. For example, Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud talks about the reason we say halal on different days. First on the Yom Tov Midar Aisa. And then at the end it asks, why do we say halal on Chanukah? And the Gemara says, because of the ace that occurred then. Similarly, the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Kufi Yotzayin and Aleph, beyond the particular example of Chanukah, that when the Jewish people are threatened with some kind of danger, when they're nigal, they say halal for the geula. Rashi gives an example of such a sick circumstance. He says kegon Chanukah, the Yerushalmi in Pesachim, in a parallel way, based on a pasuk in Shoftim regarding Shirat Devorah, says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim, we're supposed to take the initiative and say halal. The Sheiltot, another source from the early Gaonim, talks about the chiv to say halal in reference to nisim, quotes the pasuk from halal, halal with Hashem kol goyim shabchu kol ha'omim ki gavar alenu chesdo. The Sheiltot says, why? What's the connection between the nes that happens to us and the goyim saying shira? So the Sheiltot famously says, the goyim know more than the Jews, the nisim that happened for the Jewish people. But if the goyim say thanks, kol shkein we, the receivers of this good, of this chesed, should say halal as well. The Chassam Sofer, along the same lines of what we saw before, even says that just like the chiv to make a yom tov is min haTorah, the chiv to say halal is min haTorah, to be mefaris in the nes, even if it's an event not spoken about in the Torah. In fact, very famously, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalet explains that the pasuk in Yeshayahu, lemarbeh haMisrav leShalom ein Ketz, has a closed mem, to talk about the closed mouth of Chizkiah that had the great nace of Sancheiriv's army being dispersed happened to him, and he really should have been Mashiach, but the reason he wasn't made Mashiach is because he didn't respond to the nace that occurred to his salvation, meaning it's important for people to thank, to show, to express appreciation to God. It's not just a nice prerogative. It's a nice prerogative, so since there's some who say, don't do it, so I won't do it. No, it's a responsibility, it's a necessity. It's a basic part of how a Jew should relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we turn to page 5, there's a little bit of a discussion about the degree of the chiyuv in future generations as well. But it seems from many sources, like the fact that the Gemaras we saw earlier were talking about Chanukah celebrating in all generations, not just the generation when the Nath occurred. And from Rashi, Megillat Tanit, and other places as well, it seems that the chiyuv, the responsibility, is not only in the year of the Nath, but in future generations as well. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? There's a little bit of a discussion about whether the nace of Yom HaTzmaut fits into exactly what the criteria are for a nace upon which we say halal. But let me at least address a couple of these questions, then we'll open up the floor for any of the questions that people have. And I'll tell you what the Yeshua does, what I personally think, you know, which is the same thing, but you know, not just talk about it in theory. What kind of nes does it have to be? What do I mean? There's a famous question asked about Hanukkah. Why, when the Gemara talks about Hanukkah, it talks about the nes of the Pach Shemen and not the nes of the Milchama? So one of the answers given by the Maritz Chayes, by others, is that we only say Halal for a nes Golui. And the Pach Shemen was a nes Golui, as opposed to the nes of the Milchama. So some say, oh, Yom Ha'atzmaut was not a nes Golui. Now the problem with this suggestion of the Maritz Chayes is that Purim also wasn't a nes Golui. That's the whole point of it, right? Purim also wasn't a nes Golui, and it's much from the Gemara that had it been in Eretz Yisrael or whatever, we would have said Halal then. So the truth is that we know the Rambam quotes as a basis for Hanukkah the nes of the victory, the military victory as well. And so it does seem that according to most, the military victory has a role to play as well. I gave a shiur on Hanukkah about this just a second. And so if we should have said Halal on Purim, there seems to be a lot of basis for saying Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut as well. Just to mention a little bit more about the nature of the nes, some people talk about maybe it wasn't as significant. I think it's very hard historically to minimize the significance of it. Some people say it's still dangerous. I imagine it was still dangerous for Jews in Persia and Purim, and still, there's always dangers and opportunities for Jews in today's world is a lot better than it was before. I wouldn't say it's more dangerous. I wouldn't say the fact that there are still dangers in the world means the nation wasn't significant. It's also interesting that people talk about the fact that, spiritually the state of Israel isn't where it needs to be. I think that's true, but I don't see why that should play a role in appreciating the gift that God gives us, even if the Jewish people isn't taking advantage of it the way they should be. After questions, I want to talk about one last issue, which is how much of the Jewish people have to be involved in the Nes, and this is where some of those who say Halal without a bracha get the without a bracha part from, so I want people to be familiar where it comes from, and then we'll conclude. But the first question is about the principle itself. Yeah, Shlomo Yaakov.
If the Nes of Hanukkah, if the Halal is only for the Pach Shemen, then wouldn't we say a bracha and Halal 7 days because the Nes of the oil was, there was no Nes?
That's an excellent question. I don't know if you know, that's the question of the Beis Yosef on Hanukkah.
That's the days, but then we say one could be the military victory, the fact they found oil, all of that.
So there are different answers.
All that would be like a Nes Mitzvah.
There are many answers given for this, right? About what we say. I don't know if we want to get into Hanukkah now, right? But
when he gives 100 when he asks that question.
Right. You want to go through all 100 now? Afterwards, Shua is going to be giving a shiur, going through all 100. We're going to give him 15 minutes just to make his list, and then, okay. The Gemara in Erechin Daf Yud, that we referred to before, you can look back to it if you want to, on top of page 4, I think it was. And the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chof Ches, when they list the days when we say Hallel, but for example, on the top of page 5 where we're up to, it talks about the 18 days during the year when we say Hallel, doesn't mention the saying of Hallel on Hanukkah. And the Rishonim were bothered, why not? Why not mention the Hallel we say for Nisim as well? So Tosos explains in Sukkah Daf Memdal, the first source in number 3 on page 5, that he quotes a Bahag as saying this, that if you look in the Lashon of the Gemara in Erchin and Tanis, it talks about the days when a Yochid is Gomer Behenes Hallel. Meaning, the days when Nisim happened are only days we say Hallel on when the Tzibur experienced the Nes. Not a Yochid. I mean, a Yochid who has a Nes happen to him, he doesn't say Hallel for it. Only a Tzibur. Now, Sukkot and Pesach are days when a Yochid says Hallel, even if he's alone. The Nisim are only if the Tzibur experienced it. Now, what's a Tzibur for this? What's a tzibur for this? If you look at the Lashon of Tosfos, it sounds like it's the whole Jewish people. Vod Yesh Lomer, middle of the third line. Da'afilu tzibur she'ein sham kol Yisrael yachid karilu. But again, the problem we get back to again is, what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah didn't happen to the whole Jewish people. There were Jews living in Babel, right? So, and other places. So what do you mean? So this question was already asked before you get to Yom Ha'atzmaut. So for example, there are some who say all the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't seem to have been the case. Others say rove of the Jewish people is enough. If you look at the Gemara's discussion about the saying of the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim in a place where Nisim happened, it also seems like rove is enough. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. But even rove, it doesn't seem that rove Jews were in Eretz Yisrael for Bayit Sheni. So another one of the answers given is that something that happens in Eretz Yisrael to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, that's considered the Jewish people. Because the Jewish community is the Jewish people that's in Eretz Yisrael. There are many sources that go along this line. For example, if we look at page 6, first source, the Gemara in Horia says that at least as far as figuring out whether Rov of the Jewish people have sinned for Par Helam Davar Shel Tibor, we go by Rov Eretz Yisrael because the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are considered the Kahal of the Jewish people. The Meiri and others talk along these lines as well. And the point being that the Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael is the Tzibur of the Jewish people, and we would determine Kol Yisrael or the Rov by that. So that's issue number one. Is the Nais that happened to in Eretz Yisrael to not the Rov of the Jewish people, even though you could talk about the way the rest of the Jewish people was impacted by it, is that enough? But if we continue back further with the Tosfos, on page 5 that we began reading, he has an additional point that he makes at the end. If you look, there's a break in the lines here. He says, he points to the fact that the Gemara in Tainus has another interesting cryptic line. It says, Tana, Yachid lo yatchil, but for im hitchil gomer. A Yachid, on the day when the Nais happen, shouldn't begin, but if he begins, he finishes. What does that mean? So Tosfos says, "V'hadat Tanya Hasan betanit Yachid lo yatchil v'im hitchol gomer ki leka kol Yisrael kari le Yachid." If you don't have whole Jewish people, that's considered a Yachid. Afilu tzibur in nigalu min atzar v'hetchilu heyu gomer mosa. Even a tzibur, that's not a full Jewish people. If they were nigal and they started saying Hallel, then they would finish it, whatever that means. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who has a different pshat, and this pshat appears in many other places as well. That what does lo yatchil mean? Lo yatchil bebracha. Meaning, if it's Kol Yisrael, they should say Hallel with a bracha. If it's not Kol Yisrael, they say Hallel without a bracha. Oh. So there's pure halachic basis for saying Hallel without a bracha. And that pure halachic basis is, even if you believe this Nais is unbelievable and very important and everything, but didn't happen to Kol Yisrael. And you have this sheet quoted in Tosfos and in other Rishonim, many, many other Rishonim. And so that's the halachic basis for saying Hallel without a bracha. Beyond the halachic basis, I think the reason there are many who say Hallel without a bracha is because of their nervousness or hesitation, genuine, with a lot of the issues we were talking about until now. In fact, in 1953, the first time when the Rabbanut put out a formal psak about Hallel on Yom Atzmut, Rav Herzog and the committee of the Rabbanut actually instituted to say Hallel without a bracha. There were others who said you should say Hallel with a bracha. But the first psak of the Rabbanut was to say Hallel. And part of the reason they instituted it this way, they said, was because Yerushalayim isn't unified, isn't in our hands. And if Yerushalayim is not in our hands, it's hard to know how to view what's going on. And they said that when Yerushalayim will be reunified, then we'll discuss it again. In 1967, when Yerushalayim was reunified afterwards, Rav Gorin and others, who was the chief rabbi, said that now Hallel should be said with a bracha. Rav Tzvi Yehuda and others agreed with that. And that's where this certain, I guess, duality started, where some say with a bracha, some say without a bracha. What's interesting is that I think there are many kihilot in Chutz Laaretz that say Hallel without a bracha. For example, how many people in this room were part of a kihilah that said Hallel Bechlal in Chutz Laaretz in the past? How many of them said with a bracha? See, a lot of people put their hands down, right? So my point is there, if in Eretz Yisrael, very few kihilot say without a bracha. I think you can understand why. People feel the appreciation much more, feel the strength and the power of what's going on much more. And therefore, I think there definitely is a lot of legitimacy, and a person has no reason to hesitate and be afraid of saying Hallel without a bracha. If you want to be machmir, you can listen to the chas and say the Hallel with a bracha, and you say amen. If you listen to a bracha, you have in mind to be yotzei, you say amen, you're yotzei, you don't know, you do that all the time with all kinds of brachas, you can do that. But I don't think a person has to be machmir that way. Yeshivat HaKotel, Ruvain Tarragon, we say Hallel with a bracha. You have to take a look at my lips. I understand there are yeshivas, you know, Chutz Laaretz, where you have to see if the rebbes are saying Hallel. It's just the school's policy. We have to figure out the school's policy. No, the rebbeim here, we say Hallel. We don't criticize those who don't say Hallel. But we feel, you know, I feel that the Jewish people really were saved. It changed the course of Jewish history in a narrow and in a broader sense of the word. And we have a chiyuv to be as appreciative as possible beyond saying Hallel. We'll take questions about this, but then I want to add a couple of points beyond. Yeah.
Isn't the Pesach of the Seder night supposed to be like a Shira, where you first start singing, that's why you don't say Brachah Morning? Isn't the song supposed to be like a Shira as well?
Well, I would say a big difference between Hallel and the Seder night and all the other Hallels, including Yom HaTzmaut, is that the reason Hallel and the Seder night is a Shira is because we are experiencing the Nes at that moment. Right? We are going out of Mitzrayim. That's why that particular time is a Shira. So Yom HaTzmaut, we're not experiencing it today, right? We're living with the schuyot, right, of the implications of it, but we're not experiencing it, right? Yes.
Well, what do most major centrist poskim say? Like
centrist poskim?
I mean, yeah. Not like left wing, not right, Haredi, not like national religious, like zero shefter or hard listening.
I don't know exactly who's included. I don't speak about it. But I think Rav Shechta says Hallel. I think Rav Lichtenstein says Hallel. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Also, with regards to the different ones in the Haredi community who don't say Hallel, they're clearly recognized as a Gedolei Ador, so if they're not doing it,
well, first of all, let's be careful. There are many Gedolei Ador. Some are Haredi, some aren't Haredi. I think it's important that we remember that, you know, when these conversations begin. I mentioned along the way at a lot of different points some of the issues and considerations people would have. And, you know, I could get into who exactly says what. But I mentioned a lot of points, you know, issues that people raise. And different people raise different issues along those lines. And famously, the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying that he does on Yom HaTzmaut what Ben-Gurion does. Doesn't say Hallel, doesn't say Tachnun. And I think part of what, you know, again, obviously the outward expression was that, you know, I have to do more than him, right? You know, he's a prime minister. And on a deeper level, what he was saying was, you know, it's a state that, you know, like, let me give you an example. Let's say the Jewish people would have been saved miraculously by the English army. Let's say the Arabs were about to kill all the Jews in Israel, and the English army would have shown up and saved them last minute. Okay, and they wouldn't have founded any state. Everyone would have said Hallel, right? What a tremendous nice thing. Because a state was formed that a lot of people have issues with, I think it clouded the appreciation of Yom HaTzmaut. And I think it has become a very political issue. You understand my point? What's interesting, for those who are interested, there's a thing online, a website called Agudat Chalamish. Agudat Chalamish. Which is a, what? Which is a Haredi group of people who bring all the information and the ideas, you know, that the Gedolim spoke about. Like, for example, in 1949, when the State of Israel was founded, there was a cruise, an announcement put out, a signed, written announcement, but just about all the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. When I say all the Gedolim, I mean the Rashiv of Chevron and Yeshiva. His name is Rav Cheskel Sarna. And then people know there's, you know, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who is a Rav Rashiv of Yerushalayim, recognizing the State of Israel's Reish Yitzmichat Gulatena. And over the years, with the frustrations people had, and initially even the Haredim worked along with the government, what caused a lot of the Haredim to break with the government was when the government sanctioned the drafting of girls into the army. You know, so it studied the whole history of the State of Israel and its relation with, you know, religious people and religious parties. I think there's more to appreciate for the thing itself. Yeah. But just be very careful with that, because one of the big differences between the Tzioni world and the Haredi world is that we don't use the term Gedolim to refer only to the people who identify with our Ashkof. We don't build the term Gedolim around the people who happen to agree with us. And I think in the Haredi world sometimes it's done differently. The Gedolim, by definition, are the people who agree with our Ashkof, so all the Gedolim say what we say, which is very easy. It's a very important thing to be careful about that. Not that you would feel that. And you know, sometimes we get clouded by that impression. There's a lot of very holy, learned Jews who say Hallel and believe in the importance of saying Hallel. Some of them we mentioned a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If it seems that the basis for whether we say Hallel or not comes from something like Hanukkah or Purim, then how did that evolve into saying Yom Tov, Sukkot, Izimra, Haftorah, Tefillah, Chagigah, none of which we seem to say on Hanukkah?
Let's start this way. I just want to take one step back. I assume that this year's Yom HaTzmaut, if it's the first time you've ever been Yom HaTzmaut in Israel, will help you understand it a little bit more than you could have understood it in England or in America. And it's not because it's an intellectual thing to understand. There's a difference between understanding a logical argument and experiencing a reality. Where to appreciate what we have together as a unit. Not just answering your question right now, but I was planning to say before also. And I hope that people will make sure to take advantage of that. You know, to a certain extent, being on a yeshiva teyul will sell you short. Because you're used to doing stuff with the yeshiva. If you could, I would rent a car in Yom HaTzmut. I don't know if you have any companies that rent to yeshiva boys. People insane enough to do that. Get a madrich, borrow a car. And drive around to the parks in Israel. You understand what I mean? If you can go to Utah, I mean, you'll have a lot of traffic. And you have to, you know, map it out. And just join Am Yisrael. That celebrates together. Doesn't matter who. You know, religious, non-religious, etc. And you know, listen to the reality, hear the stories, read the history. And I assume it'll be a very perfect spot. I'm not saying, you know, Yeshiva Teal also enjoy, especially if it's in Yerushalayim. I'm happy that it's in Yerushalayim. I thought they weren't going to Yerushalayim because last year went to Yerushalayim. But okay. Because Yerushalayim, you'll get a bigger sense of what's going on. You know, it's where, I don't want to use the word Zionism, where Eretz Yisrael takes on a much more powerful, real reality to it. As opposed to just speaking principles in a yeshiva. Understand what I mean? Now getting back to your question, there are those, there are all kinds of minhagim at night. You know, for example, people sing parts of the Chododi, the parts that deal with the Geula. It makes all the sense in the world. You'll see the text. Is there an Isser to sing Jewish songs? Don't tell Shweki or Mordechai Ben David, you know, meaning we're coming for to start a Yom Tov, right? To celebrate the redemption of the Jewish people. Shouldn't we sing? Shouldn't we say Mizmorei Tehillim? People say Mizmor Kuf Dalet, which is the Mizmor of Hodah. You know, people who are over in Midbar, you know, people who came out. Does that not make sense? People sing the Gula parts of the Chadodi, right? People blow the shofar because it's a sign of Gula. Now, is it nonsensical after davening to get up and read a perek from Tanakh that speaks about Kibbutz Golios and the Gula, which is what we're celebrating in Yom HaTzmut? Now, I think to say a bracha. Now again, some will go even further. Some say the bracha of Shas and Nisim. I don't think that's the mainstream custom, right? Most people don't say birchas haftorah. But they get up and read a parak from Nach, right? It's a parak from Yeshayahu. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now again, it's weird for us. Now just to remember, Avarachamim was not instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah either. Neither was Yom Purkim, right? You're allowed to say tefillos. Again, what you say, Inshmanes v'Hashmanes. By the way, Inshmanes you're allowed to say tefillos, right? If Shoy Yaakov wants to get a better home run swing, and he's allowed to Inshmakolainu, he can turn to God and say, "Look, it's very important. I should swing and hit more home runs. And please, I hopefully have better things to daven for, right?" But you know, it's very important for us to keep that perspective on things. But I would take questions in one moment. I just want to say two more things. The first thing I want to say is that maybe part of our uncomfortability is the concept of saying Hallel at a stage where we're not there yet, where things are not where they need to be, and every one of us knows they're not where they need to be. That's why I put on the Makoros, if you look at the third source on page 6, very interesting discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about which part of Hallel, up to which part of Hallel you should say before eating the meal on Pesach night. So Beis Shammai says you say the first parak of Hallel, Beis Hillel, which is how we pass, and you say the first two prakam of Hallel. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, how can you say B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, the second paragraph of Hallel, before the meal? We're not leaving Mitzrayim yet. So Beis Hillel answered, even if you wait till the morning, they didn't leave until the sixth hour of the day. So how can we say Hallel at any point? Now, Beis Hillel answers a question with a question, which means he's Jewish, but the question, what's the answer? Meaning the bottom line is, okay, if we're not leaving until midday the next day, how can you say any Hallel at any point? The answer is that there's significance to stages before the end of the redemption as well. There was significance to Makas Bechoros and the fact that the Jews were given their freedom even before they left. And another very good example of this is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who Rabbi Yossi sides with in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where he talks about the fact that Moshe and the Jewish people said Hallel already in their time before, way before David HaMelech. Now there's another opinion that says that David HaMelech was the one who instituted Hallel. So Rabbi Yossi says, the reason I side with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is because, is it possible that the Jewish people shechted Korban Pesach, took Lulav and didn't say Shira? Meaning, it's not possible that even smaller things like Shechitas Korban Pesach happened and that Hallel wasn't said over it. One last point, then again we'll open up for the rest of the questions. So we talked about the fact that there's basis, you know, and I think one should, you know, act on Yom HaTzmud like a Yom Tov and say Hallel. The question is, what should one's mindset be? And here I want to quote a very interesting discussion that takes place about a pasuk in Hallel itself, end of page 6, we say Zeh Yom Atah Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. Now the word bo and that pasuk is referring to what? What is it modifying? I remember in 10th grade I had a teacher who made us crazy about grammar. She had a term, an ambiguous reference. This is an ambiguous reference because it could be referring to
Ayom.
Zeh Yom Atah Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Bo or Hashem. Zeh Yom Atah Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Bo, which is actually Hashem is the reference right before the word bo. So the question is why the pasuk presents it in an unclear way in the first place. So the Zohar says, "Have deksiv nagila v'nischa bo beyoma bo bekadosh baruch hu." It could be either v'kula chad mila, and they're really all one. And I think that's the point. All the nations of the world celebrate their independence, and Independence Day is a day to celebrate what you like about your country. And the truth is, most people like the country they live in and are happy about the fact that it's independent and whatever they have in their country. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a person enjoying whatever they enjoy about whatever country they live in, when they live there, assuming they're living there. When we celebrate Israel, the question is, are we celebrating whatever good things Israel has? Or are we celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us? And celebrating the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's expressed in the fact that He gave it to us. And I think that this is the thinking behind the Zohar that's very important in Yom HaTzmut, particularly because there are many people in Israel who don't know how to celebrate it properly. And as you know, and as you've learned, I assume, being here for the year, there are three kinds of Israelis. There are religious Israelis. There are non-religious Israelis or anti-religious Israelis. There are fewer and fewer anti-religious Israelis. And then there are Israelis who kind of, they believe in God. They sing Bihishamda, right? They believe that God is involved. They believe in the state of Israel, right? And the question is for them to put the two together and not only attribute what we have to God, but show the appreciation and appreciate the relationship in the first place. And that's an important message that we need to send out, not only for ourselves to remind ourselves and understand what we're celebrating, but to present it, to the world around us. That's why it's so important, on the one hand, for you to appreciate the broader celebration going on, but to also make sure that you know what you are celebrating and what you believe ought to be celebrated. There are some beautiful customs on Yom HaTzmud, for example. Almost the beginning of the state, they started a Chidon HaTanach. It's on the national television. It's unfortunate that today most of the participants are religious. Because once upon a time, most of the participants were not religious, and the non-religious people won. All the time. I mean, it's good that religious people compete and win. And my wife, she watches it every year. She sits there glued to the television. Mommy, she's got the Chidon HaTanach, and she gets all the answers. Oh, she's got that one, she's got that one. That's such a wonderful way to celebrate Yom HaTzmut. And to appreciate independence. It's, for too long, the Jewish people couldn't appreciate being a normal people. And that is abnormal. And the truth is, Moshavah, the Moshavah that I go to, I can't speak of any of the others, they have this thing, when it comes July 4th, kids shouldn't celebrate, and it gets under their skin, and celebrate. And the truth is, when I was a kid, it was strange to me, but we live in America. What's your problem? Grow up. And no one thinks America's bad. We're against America. But once I came to Israel, I understand we have our own real thing that means much more. This land is not our land. And that's what frustrates the guy. They know that we don't believe this land is our land. Or you believe it is your land? This land is our land. We should sing Peter, Paul, and Mary. Have you heard Peter, Paul, and Mary? And don't do that. People think you're dorky. If you're my age, people think you're just behind the times. But if Nati Wynn gets up and starts singing "This Land Is My Land," it's gonna be scary. So, in any case, any more questions? And same way, Shel Yaakov. The question is, how formal is Pesukei Dezimra that it's a problem to add Mizmor? That's why many people don't. You with me? Because how formal of a thing do you see Pesukei Dezimra to be? That, to what extent do you need a change to make the change, right? You can see both sides of the equation, right? Yeah.
In general.
Pardon me, just one more second. There was a custom in Kehilos, because I'm still thinking about it. There was a custom to say Yotzros. You know what Yotzros were? Most Kehilos don't say it anymore. It was a major thing. Why you used to, at least when I was there, still say Yotzros? Yotzros were like piyutim that you would say during Birchas Birishma. To put, now they weren't made by Anshe Kinsek Dola. They were made in the times of the Gaonim and Rishonim. Right? What's Pshat? In Birch Grishma. So there is basis for, you know, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, having the tefillot express the uniqueness of what you're experiencing, right? I'm not saying one should do that. I'm just trying to show. It's not like a bunch of tzionim. They're saying, Tehillim for Yom Tov in the Pesukah of Zimra. Yeah.
In general, with tefillot, is there any issue of Baal Tosif for adding extra tefillot? Like,
well, that's a little bit what we were talking about. Yeah, a person can say all of Tehillim every day if he wants to, right? And a person can and should express tefillot, right?
Yeah, but that, it doesn't make a difference if we make it look like this is a chiyuv as part of tefillah, rather this is something I want to say because I...
So these are the hesitancies, right? Kabbalah Shabbos. Who instituted Kabbalah Shabbos? Which there is no tefillah that has been added since the Anshei Knesset HaGdola that looks as much like a tefillah as Kabbalah Shabbos does. You with me? That was added 400, 500 years ago. It's about Tosef. You understand my point?
Right, but I mean, like, even Kabbalah Shabbat, there's usually, like, pretty prevalent customs at the scene, and it's not really dominant, you know, the Shulayachtibor moves to different emails.
I can't talk about you. You're a smart guy. When I was a kid, if someone would have told me Kabbalah Shabbos is not a normal tefillah, I would have looked at him and said, what are you, crazy? Look at the shul calendar. You have Mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos, Maariv. I don't know, I don't remember, you know, when I found out that Kabbalah Shabbos was, you know... Even a bunch of Kabbalists in Sfat? Oh my God. I've been duped my whole life. Again, you're smarter than me. You know, you catch all of these things quicker. Could be I'm slow. I'm from Brooklyn. But, you know, I think I'm not the only one from Brooklyn. Yes.
Any reference
to the Sfira? It's a disgusting thing. Look, if you believe that there's the basis for a Yom Tov and Yom Ha'atzmaut, then it should override Sfira. If you understand where the Yisurim of Sfira come from. Meaning that it's a minhag, a later minhag, you know, to come up with something in the past. Not a din d'oraisa or even a real din d'rabbana. If you believe that there's basis for the Yom Tov of Yom HaTzmaut, for a real Yom Tov, again, could be you don't believe there's basis for Yom Tov, you just say, Alel, it's a nice thing to mark the names, but if you believe there's basis for the Yom Tov, then it should override. And that's why people who do, do.
How do you make it a Yom Tov or make it...
These things are hard to quantify. You understand where the problem comes from, right? And again, I think here there's a huge difference between people... The Chutzlats and people in Israel. Same way like I was talking about before. You with me?
Yeah.
The same way. I'm not saying a person should not keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias in Eretz Yisrael because it feels weird. But it's a lot easier to talk about keeping Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael when you're not living in Eretz Yisrael. You understand my point? And I think here that is significant too. And you know what? Maybe there is basis for people in Eretz Yisrael celebrating as a full Yom Tov and people in Chutzlats not. And it's very weird in Chutzlars when you celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, right? You say Hallel, you walk out, and it's Monday. Right? And everyone goes to work. So what is it? So this year, a bunch of guys from Yeshivat HaKotel came up with a flag football initiative, they have a barbecue and Divrei Torah. It should be something special. I don't know exactly, you know. They go out to the park with a mangal, and get like one of these Israeli, you know, tin mangals, and get like a cardboard, you know. The good news is they'll be able to find a lot of space in Central Park, yeah. And you know what? If they're celebrating in a way that they feel the celebration is out of place, maybe that can help remind them of where they are and where they're not, right? I remember when I was in YU, someone had a celebration, you know, Yom HaTzmaut, I think it was Yom Yerushalayim, in one of the shuls, and we went, and you know, you walked in, you felt Yom Yerushalayim, and then you walked out, and you felt Tuesday. And the rupture was so strong, because I remember, we remembered what Yom Yerushalayim was in Eretz Yisrael. In Yerushalayim.
Even among people who say that, who treat Yom Kippur as Yom Tov, I've heard of the debate about shaving in specific, whether shaving is something that is inherent to Yom Tov or not. Is there a path that we can follow in regards to shaving?
People here in Yeshiva shave. And I think you have grounds and basis for shaving. You have grounds and basis for shaving. You have grounds and basis for shiv. Right when it gets close, like you do for Shabbos, because you want to be in the Chag properly, right? Like, you know, right before, yeah.
More technical query is, what criteria would require enough?
People like you saying query. Explain to you, shouldn't think people don't like your beard. Yes. What kind of criteria?
What criteria would be required to characterize an event with the moniker of Mingus or Miracle?
You don't mean the significance of it. You mean how do we know that it's a nes? That's a good question. That's in essence what the Levush was to what the Maritz Chayes was talking about regarding Hanukkah, right? That the Pach Shemen is quantifiable. How do we know if this is really from Hashem? Now the truth is, that's why I mentioned a little bit about you know the fears that people had. People who believed in this, right? People who had dreamed and done crazy things beforehand. And the question of whether this kind of thing could take place without God's hand. You understand what I'm saying? Now again, let's say the Jews in Cleveland, or you know, there was a politician who wanted to kill them, and you know, through politics, they, you know, whatever, they beat him in the election. Is it an ace? There's no reason to believe that God wants to make sure the Jews in Cleveland are safe. There's a reason to believe that he cares about Jews in Cleveland. But the facilitation of the Jewish people returning, rebuilding Israel, that's something that we know about.
That Shushan.
Oh, so you're asking not about Yom HaTov, you're asking, how do they know in Purim?
Yeah.
Now, the truth is they talk about there having been some level of Nevuah there, etc., right? And by the way, I think that's why there were years before it was an official celebration, right? I mean, there's your answer. He wants to ask, how did they decide in the end? And by the way, the Midrashim also speak about a debate that took place about it, right? All that makes sense, right? That it would be a debate. And I guess, you know, we have a lot of things where an evaluation has to be made and decided upon. And you're right, it's not always easy. Yes?
Wouldn't it make more sense to have had the last debate be after we actually survived and our government went out? Was that actually standard?
So that's what's spoken about, right? If there's what to celebrate, where do you celebrate it? So the truth is, it's hard to know where to put the point. They have to put a point somewhere, right? And that's why I spoke a little bit about the significance of the announcement itself and what it took to make the announcement itself.
I understand that, but like, still, the government itself, if nothing, let's say the war was lost or whatever, maybe the Jews would have survived or not, the government's gone, makes no difference. At the end of
the Arabs who were attacking Israel were not interested in removing the government. Right. They were interested in killing Jews.
I'm saying that's why I wouldn't know the war more significant than the fact that we live for more than...
Right. But the pronouncing of independence was what set the stage for everything that was going to happen in the future.
That didn't even make us a government. That just said we're now ready to become our own government.
Yeah, why not? Lift up in November.
I don't know what that means.
We're not
again, I don't understand what you said. The pronouncing of independence is what made a government and what made them independent. You have to pronounce independence to be independent? No.
I think was it
which is why, by the way, cultures celebrate the day of their Declaration of Independence. I'm not saying we do in Israel because America and France do in America and France. I'm saying it's for the same reason. That why did the Americans see, you know, July 4, 1776? Nothing happened 1776-4, right? They rang the bell in Philadelphia, so. There was a long war afterwards, right? Because the Declaration was the stance, was where the freedom and independence began. And it had to be struggled for. It's still struggled for. But that's when it began. That's when we took it. Yes?
What do you feel about shifting the day of Yom HaTzimut in order to prevent Chilul Shabbos?
You have to. Chilul Shabbos is a bad thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're going to shift it, all these reasons to
Judaism,
to do all these things.
Judaism shifts all kinds of things in its history because of that, right? Because of Chilul Shabbos, because we're afraid of Chilul Shabbos. So... the Torah says not to shift, right? But other things are shifted.
Purim.
Yeah. Which is the model. So, you know, Chilul Shabbos is a terrible thing. And there would be a tremendous amount of Chilul Shabbos. You're back to Sfiras HaOmer?
Yeah.
So when we're Docha Purim, don't we celebrate Purim fully?
There are many things. What
discernment
do we have on that day?
No, that's not my point. My point is it's the same Yom Tov. We don't happen to have there. And I know there are those who are machalik. And again, I think those chilukim make more sense in Chutz La'aretz. Because there really is no Yom Tov to begin with. You understand my point? Meaning, we are celebrating something happening for the Jewish people, but it's not the broader context of a Yom Tov. It's Kriyas HaMegillah without a Yom Tov, if we go back to the Shabbos model, right? When Purim falls out on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, they read the Kriyas HaMegillah on Friday without a Yom Tov. Okay, everyone should enjoy the Yom Yun and have a meaningful Yom HaZikaron and enjoy the Yom HaTzimut.